Hello and welcome to the I Wanna Be A Band podcast, a podcast series where I chat to good friends about the music I'm passionate about. My name is Oliver Palmer. I created this podcast for two reasons, my love of music and, like most people in the world, I'm bored, being strongly advised not to leave my house in the midst of the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. Music is a universal language, transcending cultures, generations and other human differences. But it's also a deeply personal one, with every single one of us on varying musical paths. Through chats with close friends and family, this podcast looks to explore just that. Hello and welcome to episode 3 of the I Wanna Be Your Band podcast, this week focusing on hip hop and rap. It's probably the genre I listen to most outside of rock music, having fallen obsessed with it around 10 years ago. It was the use of samples of my favourite soul and funk songs by DJs that drew me in. Chopping and changing the tracks to produce something new yet familiar was fascinating to me. Born in New York in the 1980s and 90s, hip-hop has progressed a lot in its three decades. Through gangster rap of the 90s to grime, the UK-born subculture currently going through a resurgence in recent years, with Stormzy and Skepta stepping out of the underground and into the mainstream. It was a Kanye West album, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, which drew me in. Recommended to me by a friend at school, I thought I'd give it a go. Before that, I'd wrongly looked down my nose at the genre, as not something I'd be interested in, would not be able to relate to in any way. What I found was an expansive, socially rich and fascinating album, one of the best of the 21st century in my opinion. I moved to uni and mixing with people from all over the UK brought with it an opportunity to get into different types of music, hip-hop being a primary one. From then on, Tribe Called Quest, Notorious B.I.G., Joey Badass, Jay-Z, Nas were all the order of the day. It was an opportunity to dive completely headfirst into a new rich genre with such a clean slate, discovering new gems every day. These days I'm a big fan of the UK wave of rappers, Little Sims, Slow Tie, Lowell Kana, all being exciting and countercultural figures with great stories to tell. This week I chat to Caroline. We've known each other a couple of years working at the same charity, constantly talking about and recommending hip-hop artists to each other. We chat today about her favourite albums, favourite songs, but I'm also interested in her opinion on the role of women in the genre, which has perhaps been fairly labelled as misogynistic. I hope you enjoy. Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm joined today on a very lovely sunny Friday afternoon by a special guest, Caroline. Hey Caroline, how are you?
Very good. Also enjoying the sunny London weather. Yeah. Makes a difference from the miserable weather that we've had.
Yeah, totally does.
Recently.
So I thought today we could talk about hip hop and rap and your relationship with the genre. So I've got a few questions and stuff to keep us on track, but feel free to ramble and go on tangents and whatever. So to start us off, how did you get into hip hop and what kind of artists drew you into the genre?
I guess some of the sort of stuff I spoke to you about a little bit previously are put in sort of what I said was, I guess it's something that I didn't really like intentionally get into. And as I said, kind of funnily, one of the first albums I ever got was 50 Cent's Get Rich or Die Trying when I was about 10 or 11 from my uncle. Don't know how appropriate that is, but you know, quite liked it. But at that age, it wasn't really what I was into. And even throughout my teens, again, I was more into kind of like indie bands and rock bands and that type of thing. And then it really wasn't until I started doing my master's, had these long train journeys up to Dundee from Edinburgh, and I just slowly started listening to more and more hip hop. And it was kind of like, as quite well-known people that kind of like drew me in, or the more kind of popular ones, I guess, that I guess more of a general audience would listen to. Your J. Cole, your Travis Scott, etc. Really enjoyed that type of music. I think as well, I really enjoyed it for going out and running and exercising too as well. I found it that type of thing. I think made me listen to more and more, because often with like the features that you have on Spotify or those type of things, it just tracks down onto other songs, and that kind of made me like, oh, these are cool, and listen to different people.
So yeah, that's very useful. It's funny you mentioned Get Rich or Die Trying. I actually heard that album when I was about like 12 or 13 for the first time.
Really?
I remember the album cover. It's like that broken glass from like the Bullet, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think I was drawn into
because he's been shot like 9 times or something.
Yeah, I know, something ridiculous like that. But I listened to the album like a few months ago and it still holds up. Like, it sounds great.
I should give it a listen, actually.
You should, definitely should. I think if what drew me in was like the parental advisory like sticker on the front, and you knew that it's gonna be saying rude words and things like that to like a 12-year-old. That's like sort of, you know, you can't help but be drawn to that. I think it was kind of an escapism as well. Like rapping about something that's completely not. I'm not saying I was jealous of his life in New York because it sounded pretty horrible. But it was kind of like a film in a way, because it's just complete escapism, really.
And completely nothing that I'd ever had any sort of awareness of, really, you know, growing up in like rural Scotland, like, and then listening to this album, you're just like, what? And I think you're totally right about like the parental advisory thing, and just like the whole vibe of it was just like, ooh, like, what's this? And I'm sure my parents were like, what is me blasting it in my room, but...
I'd say definitely give it another listen. It still really holds up. Like, the production on that album, I think, is great. Really, really good. Like, it still sounds really good. Did you say you got into like J. Cole, Vince Staples, Travis Scott? They're like three artists. Like, they're still going strong to this day. Like, maybe got their best days kind of ahead of them, which is exciting.
I definitely think with like Travis in particular, I think has got like, I think his stuff I find kind of mixed, whether I like it or not. It's a real like variety. So I think maybe some of his best music that he'll produce that I'll like is probably still to come. He's always producing more and more stuff.
And
I would love to see him in at a gig or a concert, because it just looks absolute chaos.
Yeah, I think there was a documentary on Netflix about him. I haven't watched it, but I think there was a documentary. Give that a watch. But I think one in particular, the Forest Hills Drive album by J. Cole, I thought was really good. That's one of my favorite albums, I think, of like the last 10 years or so.
Oh, really? That's cool.
Yeah, because it seems like you got into hip hop like quite late. I think that's quite similar for me.
Yeah.
Like when I went to uni, which is kind of, Christ, like 10 years ago now, I think. And then you kind of, because you've got this rich history and there's so many albums and artists.
Yeah.
And stories to get into, so in a way it's quite nice to get into something like a bit later on.
And I think it's something that like I think it's also like, as I said, sort of developed as I like, you know, as I said, moved to London, more access to go to gigs and stuff like that. Also friends that have interest in it. My old flatmate Ellie has a great taste in music, and she actually was the one that has sent me quite a few like albums and stuff. One that I mentioned is one of my favorites, that Frankie Stu and Harvey Gunn's Breathing Exercises, that was her that like sent me that. And then like yourself as well, like I think when you find people that have that sort of similar ish or like very similar interests, then you just develop more and more interest in it.
Because it's so universal, like music in general is so universal that everyone likes music, really. So finding those people that like the same genre as you is quite exciting, and then you can just kind of send random stuff over to each other.
Not
all of it sticks. They might not like all of it, which is good as well, but when you find an artist that two people like, I think it's really great, really exciting. So I thought I'd move on. I've asked you to send in your top three songs, hip-hop songs. So obviously this isn't an easy question, but what's your first choice, would you say, of your top three songs?
I think probably the Reggie Snow Cookie Chips is probably my favorite, which is probably why it's at the top of my list. But I mean, the other two, Lil Sims and Freddie Gibbs, you can't obviously discount at all. But I think it's definitely my favorite. I don't know. I think it just has such a different vibe about it, and it's like the perfect summer tune, and it's got such a smooth beat, and it's just like, and then it's all this cool sort of lyrics behind it. But I kind of like enjoy it in all, no matter what kind of mood I'm in.
Yeah.
I think it's just like a song that I like, which is something that's quite rare.
Yeah. I love the instrumental on that track as well. Like, it sounds so good. Even if you didn't have like sort of the rapping on top, I think it would be make a great instrumental track as well.
And it fits just so perfectly. Like, you just, it shouldn't work, but it does. I mean, you know, when you've got people like MF Doom featuring.
So MF Doom is like probably my favorite rapper of all time, I would say. And any song that he features on, he completely steals the show. I think if I was an artist, I'd like absolutely love to be on a track with him, but also hate it, because you know that you're going to be second best.
Yeah,
because his flow is so fantastic, the lyrics are so interesting as well. So that song was released last year, I think, 2020.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a great song.
Yeah, there's a lot of like Reggie Snow has a lot of like really interesting interesting different kind of songs.
Yeah,
I think that is something that was kind of like not something I'd kind of heard before in kind of hip hop music, and
yeah,
and I think that's quite nice. And like, I mean, like, he's also the fact he's from Ireland, because love Ireland, but like, you know, I think he's just got such a different sort of sound.
Yeah.
And it works really well, particularly I think when he has like collaborators.
Yeah.
I think that's when he's probably at his best.
Yeah, definitely. You mentioned Lil Sims as one of your favorite songs, about 101 FM, I think you've picked here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's one of, I think Lil Sims for me is one of the most exciting, like one of the most exciting rappers, I think, around.
100%.
What does that song mean to you, or that album? The album's Grey Area, released 2019, yeah. I think. What does that kind of mean to you?
I mean, I think the album on a whole, in terms of like her as an artist, I think it's like the best that she's been. I mean, yeah. the small like album or EP that she released last year was cool. And I liked that. Like and especially the fact that she produced it all like in lockdown, like just at, like at her house or whatever. That was cool. But I really think Grey Area just like is just such a perfect like picture of like all the different music she's produced before just coming together. And it's just like, it really is her best, I think. I mean, I still think there's loads to come, but I think.
Yeah, like she's still very young, isn't she? But yeah, I think Grey Area was, I think it was recorded with like a live band as well, which is quite rare. Like the drums, they actually got a drummer in to do the drums, for example. Yeah, and I think it's just absolutely fantastic. Lyrically, it's very good. It's quite confessional as well, which I quite like. Yeah. She's obviously dealing with some demons there, and I think to put that on a record is quite very interesting anyway.
I think that's what I, as well, like part of hip-hop that I really enjoy is that like there's so much of it is like, as you say, sort of confessional and talking about life experiences, but it's in quite a like intense or like often like not kind of like a sad way that other, you know, it's not like sad songs. It's like in a kind of like intense and like battling kind of like way, and like kind of more like, I think, motivating way. So I think that's why I quite like it more than like just like sort of.
Yeah, because that song, like the instrumental, it kind of sounds like Tetris, I always think, like those old school video games. The instrumental's going there. And it's all about, the lyrics all about her growing up in North London, about her kind of life in North London and her upbringing.
And it's really fast and upbeat, but it's also got that like soft sounds mixed in and kind of like just, it's such a great song. And I also think with that album as well, like I think for like women in hip hop and their self-standing, it was such a great, like it just really highlighted the skill level that is there and that should be getting like awards.
She can sort of stand head to head with any male rapper at all, purely in terms of like her flow and her delivery, I think.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah. What's your third of the top three songs, would you say?
So then got Freddie Gibbs featuring Tyler the Creator, which is Something to Rap About, which I think, again, I've realized that when I was actually looking back through them, that all of them have kind of this mellow vibe mixed into them. Obviously 101 FM's got that really like upbeat rapping in it, but they've all got kind of mellow vibes mixed through them, which is obviously something I must like in the hip hop music that I listen to. But I think the thing that I love about this is I think it's Freddie Gibbs at some of his best. I feel like he's had, again, for me, very hit or miss with his albums. Sometimes I'm like, this is great. Other times I'm like, could easily just not give this a listen.
Yeah.
But this song, I really like. Big fan of Tyler the Creator as well.
Yeah, same. I think Freddie Gibbs for me is one of the most underrated rappers, I think, today. I think it's so exciting. And I think the last like 5 or 6 years, he's really come into his own.
Agreed.
I think it's been around for quite a while, but like the last 5 or 6 years, like stuff with Madlib, those two albums that he's done, I think are fantastic. The album that song, Something to Rap About, on was with The Alchemist as well, who's a great sort of beat maker.
I think that worked almost perfectly. And as you say, I think he's produced some great things previously, and then it's kind of been, I don't know, there's been kind of stuff that's just been maybe not hit the mark. And then, I think this album really, really shows him at his best. And I would 100% agree that he's definitely underrated, or just maybe goes under the radar. I don't know if he's like Yeah.
I don't think he's hit like mainstream success the same way that like Kendrick Lamar has, for example.
Yeah.
But I think his lyrical flow, I think, is definitely up there. Someone once described his voice as a rack of ribs, as a nice rack of ribs, which is weird, but also I think perfectly sums it up.
Yeah, I can totally appreciate that.
Yeah, and Tyler, the Creator, is fantastic as well.
Yeah.
I think his last album, Igor, was phenomenal. He's come a long way since Odd Future. I listened to Odd Future like years and years ago. And everyone in Odd Future's done really well. But I think him especially, to sort of establish himself as that massive mainstream artist.
And to carve out kind of quite an interesting and unique sort of like style, not style of music, but the way in which he raps and the way in which he does his songs. I think again, he's another one that there's probably quite a lot of exciting music to come from him.
Definitely.
Igor was a great album.
Yeah,
another person I'd love to see live.
Yeah, I think he produced that all as well. I think he made all the beats and produced all, which is very unique. So he's obviously a very talented guy.
Yeah.
So I thought we'd go on to your favorite album. Again, very difficult to choose, but is there one that kind of that you could put above all of the rest?
Yeah, so I kind of went, I guess I've got quite a few favorites, probably too many to like rattle off, but I decided, because I couldn't really pick, I thought, well, okay, this one is one of my favorites, but I also think is probably one of the best like hip-hop albums, rap albums produced of all time, like, and I think majority of people would agree, because I was thinking, like, I did that thing of like, I don't want to just, like, you know, you're like, oh, I could pick like a really obscure one and like that sort of
try
thing,
and be
like
super
stuff
cool.
That I listen to be super cool, and I'm like, I'm not that cool. Like, I definitely, this is like an absolutely class album. So Kendrick Lamar's To Pimp a Butterfly is I'd say my favorite and what I think is the best album of all time. There's no song on there that's not great. And I think also the thing around it is that the impact that it had was just immense. And I think, I think it's got to be up there.
I totally agree. I think it's, for me personally, I think it's probably the best album of the last 10 years.
Yeah.
In any genre, not just hip hop and rap. And I think when the list gets made eventually, the best albums of the 21st century, I can see it being right up there as well. Like the top 10. I mean, who knows what the next 80 years of music produces. But I think it's such an important album. The first time I listened to it, I actually read like 3 or 4 reviews before listening to it, which I don't normally do. And all the reviews just said like 10 out of 10, 5-star, this album is amazing. I thought, it can't be that good, surely.
And then
I listened to it and I was like, this is even better than these reviews are saying. I was absolutely blown away. I think the first 5 tracks on that album especially just like get better and better and better. And you think that this is just absolutely incredible.
It's one that like every time I listen to it, I'm like kind of still amazed by how good it is.
Yeah.
And it came out in like 2015. And obviously, as I said, I didn't really properly start listening to hip hop stuff, probably about like 2016 time. So I don't actually remember listening to it like kind of straight off the bat of things. And then remember when I did first listen to it, and I think I probably didn't fully appreciate how good it was. It was maybe just like, as I say, like music playing through on Spotify with, oh, that you might like this track. And then when I got a bit more into like different artists and listening to different people, and I remember listening to it again and just became like obsessed with it, and just would just like listen to it over and over again. And just every song has like I think what's great about it is that like often when you say with like hip hop music and the sort of confessional side to things, but this also like I think it speaks to people on a, it's like there's personal sides to it, but it also like pulls together the difficulties so many people have had, and does that in a way that like so many people can relate, which I think is really, really impressive.
Yeah, because it's a very personal album, but also a very relatable album, which is quite rare, I think. I quite like how Kendrick Lamar in particular, he focuses on albums as well, rather than individual songs. Like the individual songs on To Pimp a Butterfly are fantastic, are absolutely phenomenal. Yeah. And like, it's got the big hit, like the big hooks on there, like All Right or King Kunta. But it's kind of, as a whole album, I think it's well over an hour long, but yet you're still drawn in the whole time.
Yeah.
Which I think is a very rare skill.
Yeah. I think he's got Duckworth is a rapper that like is a writer on it, and he's someone that I absolutely love, and I think you can tell that, like, as you say, each song is so great. There's not kind of any duds in there, and I think that's from the point of creating these like albums rather than just an individual like banger or really popular hit that does come through, even though obviously there's a few standouts on there that were a bit more popular. But I think it's got to be definitely, as you say, best in the last 10 or so years.
Yeah, I think so. It'd be interesting to see where he goes next, because I liked Damn, which was his last album, released maybe a few years ago now. I thought that was really good. It's a bit more sort of introspective and a bit more personal, perhaps. But yeah, to see where he goes next, who knows? Such a fascinating artist. Again, like he's huge as well, like massive mainstream success, but I don't feel like he's necessarily betrayed his roots in any way.
And I think that's what's also clever about his music, is that it can, I know like a lot of people like, ooh, don't want to be mainstream, like sort of vibe. But like, I mean, I personally like don't really get that. And I think that's what I think is also really impressive, is that he has managed to make mainstream, which brings those messages and those sort of that impact to a wider audience, which I think is really important.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Are there any other albums that were sort of up there as your favorite at all? Anything else that you want to mention at all?
Yeah, I've already mentioned Frankie Stu and Harvey Gunn, Breathing Exercises, which is definitely up there as one of my favorite albums. I mean, I don't think it's like gonna like be in top albums of hip hop history or anything like that.
But for you personally, you really like it.
I think it's great.
I think it's really good.
It's such an amazing album. There's such an exciting duo, and I think for like a first like pulling together of like the sort of like their work, I think it's great. It's carved out its own. It's sounds like, you know, it's got Loic Aaron on it, and it's got like sounds like his kind of style of music, but it's still got their own kind of twist to it, and I could listen to it over and over, and have listened to it over and over again. Pretty much the whole of last summer.
I think you sent me this album actually, and I liked it straight away, but then it's also quite dense as well, like there's also quite a bit there. And I quite like how varied it was. I think there's looked like an acoustic guitar on like some of the tracks, which you wouldn't normally get, really, which I quite liked. I don't know much about them, sort of Frankie Stu and Harvey Gunn, but I think they're from Brighton, I think, and I'd like to see them live, definitely. But apart from that, I don't really know too much about them.
Well, I was supposed to see them live in April, but you know.
Oh, right. Well, this April coming up.
Yeah. Lockdown life. So hopefully later in the year, because it is my friend that introduced me to them. She has got us tickets to see them. Oh, so nice. Hopefully it'll get reorganized and we'll get to go see them, because I think that would just be great. And I also think that, like, again, so much more to come from them, because this is like... Like they do have such that unique sound, and I think if they can keep carving that out and working with different people and different collaborators, I think they could create some really great music. So
are there any other albums that you would like to mention at all?
I think probably the other one would be Sampa the Great, The Return, because I just think it's like an insanely good album. She is probably my favorite like female hip-hop artist and rapper. She is absolutely incredible.
She's got such a unique voice.
Yeah.
Such a strange accent as well. I think she's Australian.
Yeah. I think she was born in Zambia, I want to say. But lived in Australia.
You can hear both of those accents here. Yeah, I think what was the album called? Final Form. No, The Return. And then there was a song on there called Final Form, which I think is great.
Yeah,
really, really good. So I'd like to see where she goes as well. Such a unique talent.
And I think she worked like the whole album has. It's pretty much got like sort of collaborators throughout, which I think worked really well with her style of music. And but interestingly, Final Form, which is probably the most well known one, doesn't have that. So it's cool because she's getting to like stand out and show herself. And her like skills without kind of that collaborators. But I do think some of the collaborations on there, and the songs are great. And I think it's, I get like maybe some of her other music I am as big a fan of. I think it, like, but this album I just think is like perfection and hits everything right. And what I think, again, a bit like Little Sims with Grey Area, just totally hits her stride.
Yeah. Her first album, Birds and the Bees, I think was really good. But yeah, I agree. Totally hit her stride on this album. And is just a slightly a level above, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think so. And I'm hopeful that given that that was released in 2019, that,
yeah,
you know, maybe if you, maybe
if you kind of cancel 2020, which I think is allowed, then technically that's only last year, isn't it?
Let's hope that I'm really hopeful there's new music coming. Sure.
Yeah, I hope so. You also sent over Mad Villain as well as one of your favorites. So that's a collaboration between the recently passed away, his name's MF Doom, and Madlib. So this is probably my favorite hip-hop album, I would say, of all time. If I was trying to think about one, I think Mad Villainy would be up there. I think it's absolutely fascinating. It's kind of, it's got no hooks or choruses on it at all. I kind of compare it to a bit of like a jazz album, in that you can listen to, I mean, I don't really like jazz that much personally, but you can listen to it like 100 times and still find new stuff on there, I think. I think it's absolutely fascinating.
I think fascinating is like the absolute right word for it. It's totally different to any other album I've listened to in that genre, but also just generally. And I think I was reading something about it once, and it was talking about how it's like jazz rap, which I'm not even sure if that's like a like an actual thing that, that like people would describe themselves as you know, as a genre. But yeah, I think it's I mean, two absolutely incredible artists coming together to create something which doesn't often, well, not doesn't often, but can not work sometimes.
Yeah, totally agree. Yeah, just because they're great in their own terms doesn't mean that they'll be good together. But and this is kind of a marriage made in heaven, really. There's rumors that there's a Mad Villainy 2 coming out, like posthumously for MF Doom. Apparently they did record a, they did record some stuff before he died, but that's only rumors, so we're not here to spread rumors that aren't that might not necessarily be true. But yeah, I think the album is just absolutely brilliant. There's lots of, it's a weird album because there's lots of very short songs on there. There's some songs that are only like a minute and a half long, but yet still do really well. There's not always rapping on every song as well, so it's quite a strange eclectic mix, I always think.
It's weird, isn't it? Like, it's just like, I think that makes when you have like a couple of like instrumental as well, it is really cool. And actually just like, I think it flows like perfectly. Like often you with albums, like you listen and there's like a couple of good songs, and then like they kind of don't like, well, it doesn't really matter, they don't, maybe don't need to flow through like from one to the next, but this I think does. It's like a story.
It's a very cohesive,
or not
album.
A story, but like it works like a story, like flows like a story would.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, totally. Yeah, I think my favorite track on this is probably All Caps. I think I absolutely love that song as like a standalone. It's coming towards the end of the album.
Yeah,
it's how like, many songs? There's 22 songs on there.
Yeah, 22 or something like that.
But yeah, I think like the flow on that album is absolutely fantastic. So yeah, I mean, sit tight for Mad Villainy 2. Who knows what it sounds like? In some ways, I kind of don't want them to release it. Like part of me doesn't, because I think the first one is so perfect. I think for me, top five albums of all time in any sort of genre, really.
It's up there for you.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, cool. That was good. That leads me on to the next set of questions. So I don't want to get too deep or anything, but
on a Friday afternoon.
But I thought it might be quite interesting to talk about misogyny and homophobia, perhaps, in hip hop. So I think it's fair to say hip hop is more misogynistic and homophobic than pretty much any genre that I can sort of think of, and has been fairly criticized for being misogynistic in like in specifically. Do you feel like these days are kind of behind us in the genre, or is it still present, really?
I think it's definitely present. and it's present across, I'd say, a lot of music, and just generally in the world, in society, sadly and wrongly. But I do feel like it has improved in hip hop. I think, as you said, it rightly has been fairly criticized for being sort of overly misogynistic and homophobic. And it is definitely more than, I'd say, probably other genres, but I think there's other genres that do similar, maybe aren't as criticized as heavily. And I think that's wrong. I think it should be criticized no matter where, what type of music it's being presented in. But yeah, I think it's a slow process, but I think it is getting better. And I think it gets called out a lot more now. And I think people don't have the same ability to hide behind things, you know, not like if something gets criticized on like a social media platform or something, you know, there's a lot more people are aware of it, and a lot more people are then going to be like criticizing it, which I think is right, because I think it won't change unless people call people out on it. But I do think the thing that probably hasn't changed is maybe like around the sort of the language that's used in the video representation of women, like you see music videos and the representation of women. And I think like part of that also, you know, women owning their own sexuality and what, you know, it's not to say that women shouldn't be, you know, scantily clad in a music video. I personally don't have anything against it, but I think it's about the reasons behind why they might be dressed like that or dancing like that. And if there's that level of consent and also like choice and how they're represented, and to not just be represented like that. And I think also the fact that there's so much more female artists up there, and artists like owning that type of like the sexuality and the sort of that type of thing, you know, I think has really, really helped. I think the homophobia is something that doesn't probably get called out as much. But I think it's something that if it is present, I don't think it's quite as present as it previously was, because it's almost judged more harshly. And I think I'm not saying it should be judged more harshly, but I think the like misogyny is more ingrained and it's more common, whereas the homophobia is less commonly like now, I'd say. And it's, if it is present, it's like called out like really sort of aggressively, which I think is great, and it should be. There's no place for it. I think the misogyny style thing is going to take a bit more of a time to mellow out and drop out of in its sort of most intense forms, drop out of music.
Yeah, definitely. Because if you go back to sort of like gangster rap in the 90s, there's just the only way that women were depicted was in very misogynistic, very derogatory terms. It's the only representation in the actual music, in the lyrics, in the music videos. Still, I feel like that is still prevalent, definitely, in hip-hop in general. But also, if you go back to, say, the 90s, early 2000s, homophobia, like homophobic slurs, as far as I'm aware, I don't think there's any current artist that uses openly homophobic slurs, really. Probably still happens, sure, but it's not there in the mainstream, whereas it was perhaps 20, 30 years ago.
I think the homophobic slurs are obviously something that, like, I think the words that often get used from talking about women, say, you know, words like, or like slut or those type of things, are just much more commonplace and much more used in not that they should be, but they are just much more commonly used, and homophobic language is still used by some people wrongly, but it's not as commonly, and which is great, not as commonly used in hip hop. And I think that's a great thing, because it means that people have been educated on the fact that it's wrong and it's not okay and it's not acceptable and it needs to be inclusive. And I think when you have artists, like more artists that are, more diverse set of artists that are, you know, gaining mainstream attention, I think that's really going to make it a lot better. But it's something that takes societal change, I think, particularly around like the misogyny. because it's just language that often like is used and every can be used every day. And I think then it just people don't quite, they're not like, they don't hear and go ooh, like the way that they would if it was like a racial or homophobic slur. And so I think that's where it takes to kind of, but I think as well, like having more women represented, and I think will really change that, because women aren't just seen in that way anymore. Well, some people do view them that way, but it's definitely changing.
Yeah, sure. I think for me, like, I agree with everything that you said, but also there's a slight point which I kind of heard the other day. I was listening to another music podcast, and it said that misogyny is just kind of a sign of laziness of an artist, I think, to like rely on those tropes. Just kind of shows that like you haven't got much, there isn't much substance there to you, really.
Yeah,
like I like artists that sing about like abstract topics, personal stories, things like that. And if you just rely on, say, like just, you know, your hate or you just your derogatory view
anger
of women, for me personally that's just lazy. Like, I don't really care about that kind of thing. Like, kind of challenge yourself a little bit more. That's my that's not my main gripe, obviously, but that is a gripe that I heard that I thought, okay, I hadn't really thought about that. I thought that was quite an interesting angle to approach.
Yeah, I think absolutely. I think actually, like, it's kind of the perfect way to describe it, because actually having that, like, people use the excuse of, well, I didn't know that that wasn't okay. That's just not true anymore. Like, you can't, it's not true. It probably has never been true. Like you know that it's not okay to say these things, and you know that that's not how you should be viewing people. But I think you're right. It's just like a sort of laziness point of view. And like when you hear, you know, if someone's maybe talking about, you know, as you say, rap is very confessional, and talking about like, and hip hop as a genre generally, talking about like personal experiences, to just kind of be like really derogatory towards someone just like isn't impressive.
They don't
like, it's not really
well,
impressive. It's, no, it looks a bit like, just, it's a bit embarrassing. So I think like actually being able to like produce this one where you're like, and where people can relate, and like even if you are kind of like talking about something that angers you, you can do that without being like disrespectful, I think.
Totally agree. And that leads me on to the next set of questions, which is similar but slightly different. That's sort of about women and their role in hip-hop. So I'd say that the last 5 or 6 years there's definitely been a resurgence in female rappers, for example Lil Sims, we've mentioned Sampa the Great, No Name as well, who I think is great. She's got 2 albums out which are fantastic. So is it important for you to feel more represented, like see a woman on the stage or got her own album out in a leading role telling their stories? Is that important for you, and is it a good thing for the, well, obviously it's a good thing, but is that kind of...
Absolutely. I think it's great to see a lot more representation of women in hip-hop nowadays. I think it's something that, like, if you say, even sometimes if I'm like, oh yeah, that's the type of music I'm interested in, people like, oh really? Like, it's sort of seen as like a, because maybe like a male-dominated thing, but also male-dominated listeners.
Yeah.
Or listeners are male-dominated. But I think that just shows that with more representation, you will get more women interested. Not that I think that women should just have women role models, and I think it's important for men as well to have that, like, have role model, female role models in that space. And I think it's such an important like stage for women to be able to like amplify their voices and their experiences. A lot of like hip hop music is has such a big impact, but if it's just men's voices and men's experiences, and it's not representative of half of the world's population. And so I think it's really important. And I think it draws more people in, and I think it creates different type of music and lots of different sounds. And then I think, I think especially for younger generations, seeing themselves more represented is really important.
Definitely.
And I hope it just grows.
Yeah, it kind of changes the debate, doesn't it, when you've got more people represented. I think it kind of changes the music stars itself. So Lil Sims, she recently won the Ivor Novello Awards for her album Grey Area. Fully deserved, in my opinion. and it's important that she won that for her purely songwriting credit. The Ivor Novello, as far as I'm aware, doesn't do like best male group or best female group or anything. Yeah. They don't care if you're male, female, you know. So, and she won it for her songwriting on her on that album.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of a big, that kind of thing is a big step as well.
Yeah, I think absolutely. And I think there's almost like, there has actually been over the years, and like, I think it's weird to think of it as kind of like a new thing, because you do have so many like amazing female artists of the past, like Lauryn Hill, for example. But
yeah.
I feel like they're almost always kind of like considered either like, they're not kind of seen for their own ability. It's kind of like, it's like, oh well, they're just the best, and they were like such a like oddity at that time. It's like, oh, they're just, there wasn't anything else like them, and so maybe actually they're not quite seen as amazing as they were, because it was kind of like there was kind of not that other comparison when actually they were absolutely stand out. And
yeah,
it's a bit like with someone like Missy Elliott as well. Like, I think she's like, obviously people do think she is absolutely great, but I think again she was kind of like one of the more original like sort of female rappers, and I think she like, she probably didn't maybe have the same opportunities that a lot of the female artists do have now, and you kind of think, oh, it's a shame, because those people are just incredible and still are.
So I think that Lauryn Hill album, I think, is one of the best hip-hop albums of all time, Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. But I think always until recently perhaps she was always seen as like, she's a really good female rapper, rather than she's a really good rapper.
That's always because like of the time when she came up. It's like
that
she's
cross
female.
That she's kind of carried around with her. When, in my opinion, that stands up with like the greatest hip hop albums of all time, regardless of gender. So perhaps that's kind of changing slightly over the last like 5-6 years. And we'll hopefully continue to do so in the future. We've still got a long way to go, but hopefully we'll continue to do so in the future.
Because I was reading some stuff about how like with that album, like there was kind of a bit of pushback on her sort of doing this like solo album, and kind of, you know, probably from a part of like the fact like, oh, like a woman female rapper, like is it going to go down well, like, you know, would that what people would want to listen to? And I think that, as you say, the album just stands alone for itself. Like it's incredible. And it shouldn't be like, it's kind of like in the way that like people talk about Serena Williams as like the best female tennis player, and it's like, she's probably just the best tennis player of all time. Doesn't have to be the female in there. That's how I would like compare.
Yeah, no, that's a nice comparison, I think. Okay, so drawing towards sort of the end of our time, what artists are you listening to at the moment? Is there anyone, either new or old, doesn't really matter, that particularly you've got your eye on?
Yeah, so in the last sort of week, I guess, I've been listening to Gett's new album, not someone I've listened to before, and obviously kind of well-known in the grime scene, but this album to me is a lot more sort of mellower and much more, I'd say, for me, my type of music. And I think it's really great, and there's a lot of really good songs on there. I don't enjoy all of them, but I think there's a lot of really great songs on there, and some quite cool sort of collaborations as well. So I've been listening to.
It's called Conflict of Interest.
Yeah,
I listened to it the other day, actually. I thought it was really good. And Gett's is someone that I'm not particularly like too much personally. But I thought the album was really good, really drew me in.
It's not someone that I'd personally listened to before, but actually it was on, I think it was Loyal Corner posted a picture of it on his Instagram story, and I was like, I'll give that a listen, because, you know, obviously respect Loyal Corner's taste. I really enjoyed it. As I say, I didn't enjoy every song on it, but like, really, there's a song called Sonia that features Emily Sandé, and actually it's such a brilliant song. Really emotive, and and also Emily Sandé's great, but I just really, really enjoyed it.
Nice.
And then I've also been listening through Coach of the Friends albums before I listened to his most recent one, which was released in January this year. So I'm intrigued to see what that's like. And then in terms of newer people, a new artist, not actually new, but someone that I've just started listening to is the Koreatown Oddity. He's a rapper from LA.
Mm-hmm.
And his album, little Dominic's nosebleed is so good. I've listened to it
I've not heard of him at all. I'll check that out.
I hadn't until like about 10 days ago. And again, it was just through like clicking on Spotify and random people. And I must have been like, he must have been on someone's album that I was listening to. I was like, okay, cool. Give him a listen. Yeah, really, really cool. Cool album. He's also like used to be a stand-up comedian, which I find quite fun.
So is it quite funny then, the lyrics?
I think it's like you can tell that he has that level of intelligence and wit that comedians have.
And his delivery is probably really good.
Yeah, exactly.
Which you kind of need for it to be a stand-up comedian.
And I think it's I've not actually listened through his other stuff yet, but I've just that album. So I'm interested to see how some older stuff is. But it's a really great album. Would recommend.
Okay, nice. Yeah, I'll write that one down.
Giving it a listen. And then like the final sort of one, which actually I started listening to because you sent me a video through, which is Annie, who's from she's from London, and her songs and freestyles sort of on that I started listening to on YouTube are really cool and very sort of new artist, or at least in terms of there's not much music out there from her that you can listen to. But obviously rose to prominence when her song Ping Black Girls was remixed with Georgia Smith. Georgia Smith, who I also really love, I think has an incredible voice.
Yeah, she's
features
fantastic.
On a lot of great artists' album, and it's also just a really cool cool video. But I think Annie has a lot of cool music to come.
I think she's only got, because I did a bit of research into it, I think she's only got like two songs out. So Ping Black Girls is one of them, and then there's another one which I can't remember the name of.
Yeah,
I think she's fantastic. I think she's really
good. She's got some freestyles on YouTube that you can listen to. And I think it'll be interesting. She's now signed to Georgia Smith's label, so
okay, cool.
That's also cool, because I'm like women like supporting women, which I really enjoy. But also I think there'll be more to come from her. Again, hopefully.
And I think Georgia Smith is like someone that, because I love Georgia Smith, I think she's fantastic, but she's also, she's got kind of like a golden touch, I think, on hip-hop. She's fantastic when she, because obviously she's on the Lil Khana newest album, and her work with AJ Tracy I think is really good as well. She's great by herself. I think her debut album was really, really good, but she's great when she collaborates. Just got such a good voice that really suits that kind of, for someone to rap over it or alongside it.
Because it's Loose Ends that she does with Lil Khana on his album, and I think that was probably the first time I heard her. I reckon it must have been when I was listening to him. I think she's great. She does, you're right, she just has that all, whenever she's like featured on an album, I'm like, that song's gonna be great. Like, I already know it's gonna be great before I listen to it, and it always is. And then, as you say, her actual own work and own, like, albums and singles are also great. She's nice honorable mention for her.
Okay, I think that kind of draws us to the end. Is there anything else, any other artist you want to mention, or anything else that you want to kind of say? You don't have to, there's no pressure to, obviously.
I think that's probably, I'm sure there's loads of other people we could probably sit and discuss this for hours.
Yeah, definitely. I won't keep you too long. I'm sure you want to get out in the sun, in the lovely sun.
Yeah, but it's interesting talking through with someone about, like, because I think with music, with myself, it's something that's like, I haven't always been that invested in it. Like, it's weird, not that I didn't like music, but I kind of just like listened to music, like whatever I listened to, I just listened to, and kind of was like, oh, what my friends were listening to, particularly when I was younger. But with, like, over the last few years, really gotten into it a lot more, and not just like, you know, you randomly listening to things, like understanding the stories behind things or the different like collaborations and why and how people have created things. I've enjoyed that side of it as well as just obviously listening to the music.
That was the exact idea for this, why I created this podcast, just because there's lots of people that do kind of talk like yourself very passively about music, different albums and artists. But I thought it'd be interesting to kind of explore that a little bit more, how you got into certain genres or artists or whatever. So that's kind of the idea of this podcast, really.
I think it's cool to kind of talk about it in a more, not formal setting, but as you say, not just a bit in more kind of like, oh, here, listen to this. As you say, things come up and you think about the way you think about things, like you said about the misogyny side of things just being like a laziness. Actually, it's not something I'd actually thought about, but that's what's great about having these type of conversations, and also just like getting recommendations for new music.
Of course,
different music.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks very much, yeah. Caroline. I really enjoyed that. Thank you. Okay. I'll let you get to it. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. This podcast was created, written, mixed, and produced by myself. I made this podcast using nothing but free software I found online and YouTube videos. I didn't and still don't really have a clue what I'm doing, but I encourage anyone to give it a go. I think we all have a podcast in us. Just stick to your passions and you cannot go too far wrong. I'd like to thank my special guests and my friend Josh for the artwork. Thanks very much for listening. And cut.